Hawks. We are, well, just me, just Chris. Hi, I'm back to talk about the second issue of the new Supernatural comic. So far, they're kind of doing it. This comic has been pretty damn good so far. I'm really pleasantly surprised by this. I said it last time, but those early comics that came out and from the early seasons of Supernatural, those were not awesome. But this new series is really doing it for me. It feels so much like classic Supernatural, and it's such. They're short issues. It's telling what would normally be a 45-minute episode in like, what, 17, 20, 25 pages, something like that, of comic book. And they're just nailing it. Yeah, we're skipping over some of the minor details, but that hasn't bothered me at all. I am especially pleased with the second issue because they're heading to Vegas. And I'll be honest, those types of, like, gambling, Las Vegas themed set kind of things, that stuff never fully appeals to me. So I didn't have, too much expectation going into this. I prefer stories where the boys are off in some abandoned forest somewhere or some, just that kind of stuff a little bit more than the bright lights of Vegas. And yet I liked this issue even more than the last issue because it continues to really capture the feeling of those early seasons. It understands Sam and Dean really well without having to like go out of its way to try and characterize them. The show already did all the character development. The show already established who these guys are. So now the comic just gets to take that and run with it and have fun with it. And again, writers, artists here really displaying that they have an understanding of these characters. It's certainly as these characters were in those early seasons. Just nailing it. So without further ado, let's get into it. We start with a cold open, of course. And I love that we're getting cold opens even in the comic book. Well, this is kind of a double cold open because first we get what looks 1961. We're in the desert somewhere and we see what looks like a man carrying and disposing of a body. It's covered in a burlap sack of some sort. And he kind of tosses it into a hole. And as he's walking away from disposing this body, he sees a little golden earring of some sort lying on the ground. He picks it up and he walks off. So that's our first page. Then boom, second cold open. We flash forward 1 week ago from present time. We see a violent, bloody crash that leaves a man dead at a pawn shop. It seems like this guy, I don't know if he ran through the damn window or ran through the damn jewelry case, whatever he did, he broke into a pawn shop seemingly to steal this earring or steal other items and wound up dead in the process, bleeding out. Pretty bloody, pretty extreme right off the bat, double cold open. We're left thinking, okay, how are these two things? I mean, there's the connection of the earring right away, but we're left to wonder, how are these two things going to play into what our boys are about to get up to? And cut to present day, cut to now, as they would always say in Supernatural. Sam and Dean are arriving in Vegas, and Dean is, of course, super excited to be here. They've had a run of bad luck. They're kind of broke at the moment. So Dean's looking forward to... Dean has convinced himself that he knows how to count cards. He apparently read a book about it, and now that's all the info he needs. So he's excited to be here. He's excited to win some money. Sam is, of course, skeptical about this entire experience. He's being gloomy. He doesn't want to be here. And Dean is like, hey, brother, while you were off at college, while you were off at Samford University learning law and how to build bombs or whatever the hell you were doing over there, I was on the streets learning real shit, like how to count cards, apparently. And cut right away to Dean he's at the table. He's playing cards. He's ready. And I really like the way that they made these casinos look. It's like the washed out versions of what was once like really garish, bright, ugly colors of casinos. That entire aesthetic I find pretty ugly. And I love how everything is just so washed out here. It's just like, yeah, maybe this place was great 40 years ago. And now you're just kind of in the remnants of what used to be. but it's a very effective trick. It immediately kind of puts the reader in that space, in that place and time. And of course, we watch Dean lose hand after hand after hand because, of course, he didn't actually learn how to count cards. He has no idea what he's doing. And Sam is throughout this is like, yeah, I know that you're good at hustling poker, like pretending you're not good at poker and then actually winning. Same thing with pool. But like playing blackjack or whatever it is Dean is doing is a little bit different. There's a little bit more actual, luck and skill. I guess you can't just... you can't just fake your way through it, as Dean thinks he's doing. Sam just walks away from this. He can't watch this happen. His hair is, Sam's hair is looking fantastic in this one. They gave him a little bit of that longer look, that like season five kind of hair look. So it's a little early for that. But do you guys remember back Monster of the Week when it was like a fundamental part of my episode reviews to comment on what Sam's hair looked like? Simpler times. So Sam goes over to the bar and he sees there's a woman there. She's being harassed by what seems to be a casino employee. I think it actually might be the guy who owns the casino. She's clearly hiding something. We don't know what this woman's deal is, but she is very much like keeping things to herself. And the guy bothering her, he's, you know, thinks she's selling something of some sort, if you catch my drift. And that's when Sam swoops in. He immediately pretends to be her cousin or something like that. He's, oh, hey, how you, hey, I've been looking for you. Oh, it's great to see you. And the woman, of course, plays along with it. And the casino owner, you know, introduces himself. He's like, oh, sorry, I didn't realize you were with somebody. Who's this? Hi. He introduces himself to Sam. His name is Bobby McCatrick. McCatrick. I wrote in my notes many times, McCatrick. That's not easy for me to say. We're gonna fight our way around that one. McCatrick. Getting worse every time I say it. Jesus. So as the as Bobby walks away, this woman turns to Sam and she's like, all right, dude, what do you want? you came over here. Yeah, what do you want? And Sam's like, no, nothing. You just look like you could use a little help. And he gets up to leave, but she's like, nah, it's all right. You know, stick around for a little bit. That guy might still be watching. I'm going to keep up the ruse for a few minutes at least. And she tells Sam that her name is Callie. Sam wants to buy her a drink. He pulls out his money and he's like, oh shit, he only has 10 bucks. And he explains that, oh yeah, me and my brother, we're down on our luck. Shit sucks right now. And Callie, in a sudden turn, says, luck might not have anything to do with it. And she points over to the table that Dean is playing at. And the person sitting next to him is the head of the Maritimo family. We don't learn too much about that, but, you know, a local, powerful family. That's all we really need to know. And Sam is like, yeah, I don't know who that is or what that means. Well, I don't know who that is, but I have a pretty good idea what that means. And that's when Callie, sitting next to Sam, they're watching Dean play. That's when she does something strange. We see this sort of, as readers of the comic, we see this kind of like yellowy light appear around her, and then we suddenly see that same light envelop Dean. Presumably that's invisible to the naked eye. Nobody is really reacting to it. Sam is kind of watching whatever she's doing, but he doesn't really clock that there's some sort of magic going on here. And then suddenly, after Callie does whatever she just did, Dean starts winning hand after hand after hand. And while this is happening, Callie, she just gets up and walks off. And meanwhile, the house comes back to talk to Sam and Dean. They're like, okay, something's going on here. This guy just suddenly won way too much. And they bring Dean to the back and they kind of interrogate him a little bit. They find that he has a fake ID and he's clearly some sort of grifter. But he was doing so poorly before that it's clear to them, even after all these wins, it's clear to them that now this guy's too stupid to have been card counting. He was that bad at it that it's clear he's not cheating. He just got a little bit too lucky. And so they just go, you know, hey, brother, cool off. This is bad for business. Go have dinner on us. So Dean is like, yeah, all right, whatever. Dean's in a good mood now. He doesn't give a shit. He's off to have dinner. And in presumably the casino restaurant, that's where they run into Callie again. And by this time, Sam has kind of figured out whatever just happened. He thinks Callie had something to do with it. Dean's newfound luck was not exactly natural. But they go, they sit down together, they sit down with Callie. Sam introduces Dean. And it becomes pretty clear that Callie, whatever her deal is, holds a pretty serious grudge against the casino. And she asks the boys if they would like to make 1,000 times what they just made. Dean, Dean, who just directly profited from her luck, is immediately like, no, we don't need any of what you're selling, lady. And that's when, like, well, Sam has to step in and be like, well, Dean, actually, I think you won because Callie gave you good luck. However she did it, something happened here. That was not just a natural occurrence. And Dean turns to Sam and says, Sam, who is this lady? And Sam turns back to Dean. They are sitting right in front of Callie. Sam turns back to Dean and says, good question, bud. Let's listen. Don't fucking ask me the question. Ask her the question. Let's let her tell us who she is. And that's That's quintessential Sam and Dean right there. Just being fucking boneheads for no reason. They're clearly very intelligent, very capable, but sometimes they're just goddamn boneheads. I love that. Good question, bud. That's such a good line. And yes, here Callie admits that I'm just really tickled by Dean asking Sam, what's the deal with this right in front of her? Callie, yes, she reveals that she did indeed share some of her luck with Dean. And she goes on to say that she's been missing one of her earrings. She shows she's wearing the other earring. She's been missing one of them for a very long time and would like their help to get it back. She says that the earring is at a pawn shop on 8th Street, and then she just walks off, leaving the boys to wonder what the hell is going on. I love that Dean's first guess is that she's a leprechaun. couldn't be further from the case, but good guess, Dean. So for lack of anything else, I mean, this is starting to smell like their kind of thing, right? These boys aren't no fools. They're boneheads, but they're no fools. They could pretty quickly pick up that this is their kind of thing. So they head over to the pawn shop. What else are they to do? And this is the pawn shop that, of course, that we saw in the cold open. And we see as the boys are looking around in there, there's a spot of blood on the ground where the dude died last week. And Dean just casually throws in a recommendation like, oh, if you want to get rid of that bloodstain, mix vinegar and baking soda, whatever he says. It's just like not weird at all. Not weird at all that you would know how to get rid of bloodstains. Not a big deal. The guy working at the pawn shop. I mean, he's working at a pawn shop in Vegas. Nothing surprises this dude. I'm sure he's probably more weathered and experienced with the strange side of life than these boys are. But yeah, he just is like, yeah, so last week this dude broke in, tried to steal just some random old piece of costume jewelry. 40 years ago, all the showgirls around here were wearing this stuff. There wasn't really anything of value to this, so I don't know what all the fuss was about. The man bled out over this. And that's all the info the boys really need. The pieces are starting to click into place. They know that Callie isn't exactly normal, and a person died trying to get this earring, so they get the earring from the pawn shop, and they now have enough of a basis to start doing some research. So they go to the local library. You gotta just go to the library in Vegas sometimes, you know? They start researching old cases, and before long, I love that you watch enough Supernatural, you know exactly what's going on here. They start thinking, oh, Showgirls 40 years ago, let's start looking into deaths from around, you know, this era of time. You can just really picture it. They're finding, oh, deaths of Showgirls. You can see the pieces clicking into place for the boys. You've watched enough Supernatural that you know how their minds work, how the immediate things that they're going to go do. So we don't have to watch any of that. In this comic, you know, we can just cut to, boom, they're at the library and they have found information about Callie's true identity. Her real name, her full name, is California Hernandez. She was aged 32 when she was killed in 1961. She's the victim from, it says, oh, so she was, of course, we as the reader now know, this is the victim from the cold open. And they're just like, oh, okay, so she's a ghost. And I love that. It seems that was always part of Supernatural, but it was actually one of those things in the early seasons that was so fun, like as a newbie to Supernatural, to watch them come to a conclusion and be like, oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, it's a woman in white. Oh, yeah, it must be a Wendigo. It's just like they just naturally stumble upon that, and it invites you into the world, and it tells you so much about them. I love those little moments. Oh, yeah, okay, she's a ghost. Not weirded out at all about any of the exchange of luck or the conversation of just, you know, okay, yeah, that's what she was. But as they continue to read the article about her death, they find that her killer was caught and executed. So what is it that Callie wants? What is her unfinished business? Because very often it's, you know, vengeful spirit kind of stuff. But if her killer is already dead, then why is she still holding such a strong grudge against the casino or the owners of the casino? Like, what's going on here? They both know that this is probably pretty bad. And Dean especially is like, dude, you know what? I think we just need to salt and burn the bones, basically. We need to do what we always do and just kind of take care of this the way that we always take care of things. But for a little role reversal here, Sam decides to be the one who takes a gamble. And Dean kind of calls him out on that, being like, oh, now you're the one who wants to gamble? And Sam just says, Vegas, baby. And I love that Dean is just like, all right, okay. Like, Dean wasn't even on board with the plan, but just, like, that gambling spirit, seeing it in his brother, he's like, okay, all right, I'm down for this. Whatever, dude, let's see where this goes. So they go back to the casino to find her. And it doesn't take long. Sam gives her her earring back. But just as he's handing it to her, it falls through her hand, and now her eyes turn black. Not in like a demon way, but just in a ghostly way. Just a spooky ghost form, you know? She's no longer appearing exactly like the regular lady who has just been hanging out. She's real enough that the casino owner was talking to her. It's not like she's just appearing to the boys or to Psychic Sam or anything like that. So she explains that she wants McCatrick. Mick Catrick. I think I am saying it right, but it's still those two C's. I got hung up on him. Maybe he didn't kill her, but he drove the car to the desert, he dumped her body, and then he took her earring and he pawned it. So yeah, maybe he wasn't her direct murderer, but he was involved in disposing of her body. He was involved in her death. He has to pay, she says, and when you have that earring, he will. So it's now, the earring is still on the ground from when Sam tried to hand it to her. Now he goes to pick it back up. And Dean immediately tries to stop him, because as much as this ghost has not posed any threat to them, and she's only posing a threat to a very bad man, I know Dean is still a little bit like, okay, we probably should not be messing with this stuff. Especially, we should not be letting Sammy mess with this stuff. You know, if anyone's going to do it, it's Dean. And I love that they don't have to say that I can so easily infer that by that little motion, because it doesn't stop Sam from doing this thing. But it's such a classic Dean moment. But he doesn't have to say, oh, Sammy, I'm your big brother. I'm the one who has. He doesn't have to do that again. We already know that. And it's just those little things. I mean, I guess that's just the characters. It doesn't really have anything to do with the comic. But I like that the comic can take those shortcuts to tell a story as fast as it can in the page limit. And it works so well because we know these characters so well and because the writer knows the characters so well, and it's very clear. But Dean is not able to stop Sam. As soon as Sam picks up the earring, all around them, we see in the background, slot machines are going off, people are cheering. All of a sudden, the casino starts losing money. Everybody starts winning. It's a lucky day for everybody there. And Dean is looking around. He's like, okay, sure, so we're using her good luck to bankrupt the casino, but somehow this is going to get tied back to us. I don't know how, but it's going to get tied back to us. And whether some goons come after us or we get the cops come after us, it's not going to end well. I don't really know how anybody would figure it out, but whatever. And that's when Sam devises a plan. He's like, okay, we don't need to be the ones here holding the earring, causing this to happen. Okay, I guess that's what it would be. As long as they're there with the earring, so if somebody's holding the earring there, everyone will have really good luck, except for the casino. So that's when Sam comes up with this plan, and the next thing we see is Sam walks up to Bobby McCatrick, again, the casino owner, and shakes his hand. Oh, just came by to say hi. Sorry about the mess yesterday. And while he's talking to him, Dean slips the earring into Bobby's back pocket, and that's all it takes. The boys take their leave. The casino continues to be filled with the sound of winning players, and McCatrick turns to see Callie, the real Callie. How she, you know, her ghostly form, I suppose. And she accuses him. She confronts him. He never saw her face when he disposed of her body. So that's why he was able to just talk to her the day before without, you know, being suspicious in any way. But he knows. When he sees her, when he really looks at her, now he knows. And he says, no, it's not possible. And she says, no, not impossible. Just a 1 in a million chance. I butchered that. But I liked this gambling odds thing, this theme that kind of rode through the entire story, that dotted around the edges of it. It's not impossible that a ghost would come back to haunt you and ruin you. It's just a 1 in a million chance. And McCatrick, just out of his mind, apparently, he runs out into the street, upset, pissed off, whatever, and right there, boom, he gets struck by a car. He's sealed his own fate. Callie drifts over towards the boys and says the earring, the good luck, it's there if they want it. And they both just say, nah, we're good. And she says, yes, you are. And she fades away with her final words. And I love the way that the panel is drawn with this. The speech bubble starts to fade away so you can just barely see the last word. And she says, good luck. I really like that little exchange. Sam decided to help this woman in just a very casual way. This was not a slaying a vampire to save somebody in danger or anything like that. It was just somebody was being creepy to a woman. He just went over to be helpful and nice, expected nothing out of it. That was that. And they were rewarded for it in a small way. You know, nothing huge. It was just like, you know what? The boys did kind of get lucky on this one. They helped a ghost find peace. I mean, they let a guy who was accomplice to murder get killed. They didn't kill him. I mean, Callie didn't even kill him, actually. The guy kind of killed himself. I don't know. Overall, it just felt like this was one of the positive things. They saved the people and hunted the thing, sort of. But the person who needed to be saved and the thing that needed to be hunted just happened to be the same thing. They were both. It was Callie. You know, you can't have a vengeful ghost drifting around the casino. That's not good for anybody. But in the end, you know, they took out some bad guys, or they took down a bad guy. A bad guy was taken down, I should say. And a soul was put to rest. Some justice was found for her. Yeah, overall, another great issue, really quick one. I am so happy that this is a thing. It is making me so nostalgic for Supernatural. They are doing such a good job of capturing the essence of it. I'll tell you, you know, and I'm sure anyone who's familiar with the Monster of the Week feels the same way, that I'm really missing Jeremy doing this. I really would have loved to hear what he had to say about these. I hope you would have liked him. I think you would have liked him. But for now, that's all I have. This is another great entry. This would have made a great episode. It's just fast and loose. We fly through it. And here we are at the end. We got to see the boys being the boys. We got to see a little ghost action. And the next episode teases that, or the next issue teases that it's going to be about zombies. That sounds fun. The zombie episodes that they have done in Supernatural have always been a good time. So I am curious to see how that's going to go. And yeah, thank you all for listening. And until next time, I still don't have a sign off for this one. Keep reading. What am I, reading Rainbow? We're not going to say keep reading. Somebody help me come up with a sign-off for this. I can't do it. I'm not good at that stuff. Jeremy came up with all the good stuff. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Bye.